start?
Yeah.
Okay, so B'siyata D'Shamayim, on Mondays we'll get together at 5:15 to discuss Shalom Bayis. My wife will attest that I'm no expert on Shalom Bayis. I'm growing in it as well, just like all of us. But I think that the actual significance of sitting down and spending some time thinking about it is probably the most important part. Just devoting time to it. I think it's actually the most important thing that we could be doing right now. In other words, you could have somebody who's learning well in Gemara in the morning, and he's learning very well halacha, and he's becoming a Baal Halacha and so on. But if Chas v'Chalila, he doesn't have Shalom Bayis, then a lot of his Amelus B'Torah is not going to lead to a lot of happiness, and for that matter, his ability to be Mashpia on the world as a Rav is going to be greatly, greatly diminished. So aside from the fact that most significantly, happiness in his own life will be very, very hard to find if he doesn't have Shalom Bayis. So this is an integral part of our experience here. And it's just a beautiful, our kolo is just a beautiful laboratory for so many things in learning and in many different ways. It should also be a laboratory where we work on Shalom Bayis and we discuss and we grow together. I'm going to start in the strangest of all ways. I'm going to start with a Baal Amor. But the Baal Amor is Hakdoma Tashas. The Baal Amor is Hakdoma Tashas. I'm indebted to Rav Tzvi Ron, who was Ma'orah this to me. And I think the Baal Amor is going to take us to a very important place in terms of how to frame sort of the introduction to Shalom Bayis. The Baal Amor writes, B'mekomos Rabim, because of Nikris HaNefesh HaChaya, Kavod. In many places, the Torah refers to the Nefesh Chaya, the living soul, as Kavod. K'dichsiv l'chein samach libi v'yogel chvoidi, uchsiv ura kevoidi, uchsiv l'mayin zamercha chavoid. Ki haboyre etzla ala adam mikisei kvoidoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with his honor. Part of being created B'Tzelem Elokim is we have inside of us the honor, the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'ba nasan alav mehoidai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us from his hoid. V'hu ha'etzem ha'nichsef al yisoda. This is already a very fascinating Kabbalistic idea. I'm not going to translate right for that. But all we need is the first word and half. Now, why the Baal Amor starts off his Akdama Rishas, take a look at it, talking about the fact that we're created with the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have the hoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside of us. Why he does it for Shas, it's not our purpose at all, but what's very interesting is the Baal Amor's description that the hoid inside of a person's glory comes from the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's just start Ben Adam L'Chaveira. Ben Adam L'Chaveira, the more and more we focus on the Tzelem Elokim of a person, the more and more we focus on the Hod of an individual, the more and more we could connect to people. Now, it's not a coincidence that the word Hod also shares the same word as Hoda'ah. When it comes to Shalom Bayis, and when it comes to, particularly when it comes to Shalom Bayis, you could connect this to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro in general. Hod and Hoda is going to be a very, very important part to the Hakdama of Shalom Bayis. Let's talk about Hoda, work backwards from Hoda, then go back to Hod, and then see what it has to do with Shalom Bayis. The Maral in Siva Avoida in Simin Ches writes, Kasher Maskir, when a person mentions, here he's talking about Hoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who meiser atzmai l'Hashem Yisparach, shelo yetzei dover mershusa Yisparach, modei shelesla migar meklum. The Maharal writes that the function of Haidah is an individual recognizing that everything that they have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and thereby a person connects to the hold of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are really three parts to Haidah. Haidah is, on the most basic level, saying thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bali Machshava also point out that Haidah is also an admission, a recognition that I have, that everything I have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the process of thanking, I recognize Sheles Lemi Garme Klum. I recognize that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that way, we could add, based on the Baal Amar, and the Maharal seems to be driving at this idea as well, that a person becomes one with his source. Now, at first glance, this has nothing to do with a wife per se. This is Yesodos in life. This is Yesodos of how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how we relate to people. And it's not a bad way to start off an introduction to Shas, an introduction to life. This idea that everybody's made B'Tselem Elokim, that everybody has a hod inside of them, and the way in which a person connects to the hod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way a person connects to the hod of others is through the process of Hodah. The topic of the next 10-15 minutes is, I like to call the introduction, Hakaras Kvoidah. The first step in Shalom Bayis is recognizing the kavod of one's wife. What are the two most important, let me hear from you, what do you think? What are the two most important parts of marriage for a successful marriage? Throw out, what would you suggest? Communication. The world says communication. So I agree. I put that as number two. What's number one? Respect. The most important part to a successful marriage is not compatibility. The most important part, and not even communication, the most important part is respect. In other words, what we're going to argue today is that a wife that feels that on a deep level, not a superficial level, that her husband respects her, he works on trying to recognize and show. Now, it's not enough just to respect her intellectually. He has to be makir. He has to do the hoda'a to connect to the hod that's inside of her, and that's what builds a home. Now, according to Zohar, what happens when you have Hakaras Kvoida, what happens when you have this Bechina of Hodah and Hod, what happens is something magical. At the end of the Zohar, on the Pasuk Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim, the Zohar famously says that what's referred to now in English as two parts of a whole. That really, Ish v'Isha are really one neshama. That I don't know the metaphysics of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated the two, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu separates one neshama. And what Nisuin does is Nisuin brings together that one neshama, which makes a lot of sense if we think about it, because what happens, Taka, is that when husband and wife come together, they create new life. They create a bias. They create units that are a function of one. So what happens is you have men are from Mars and women are from Venus. That the mystery of life is that men and women are so different. Yet, at the same time, they're part of one neshama. And the goal is for them to properly reattach. And there are many things that could be blocking that process of reattachment. And what we're arguing today, that the most important thing is Hakaras Kvoda, recognizing Hod through the process of Hoda'ah, and that ultimately is what creates the union between husband and wife. So how are we supposed to do that? So we could talk more esoterical ideas, or we could talk Lamaisa. In general, if you have thoughts in terms of things that are Lamaisa that are in your mind that you want me to discuss, come over during the week and let me know which topics are important to you. What we want to do is take these very important yisodos and try to find a very practical way of how to be able to make this happen. So I want to give you a very practical example. If your wife does the laundry in your house, which she doesn't have to do, by the way, it doesn't say anywhere in the Ksuba that she has to do the laundry. But if she does, when was the last time that you took out your sock from the drawer and thought about how the sock got there? In other words, what happens is we're ma'arich our spouses, in theory. We try to do nice things for them before Shabbos, and we try to not to forget their birthdays, and we try to do all these things to show that we're thinking about them and keeping them in mind. But at the end of the day, if we don't really get back to the basics, and we don't think about how in our day in and day out life, how much hakaras hatov that we should have for them, then we're missing a lot. And we're missing a lot. And therefore, what I want to encourage you to do is take a step back. And, you know, the problem in modern life, kal v'chomer in modern kolel life, I'll explain what I mean, is that we have a hard time taking a step back. We have so many things to do. We have morning seder, and then we have a bechina, and then we have this, and then we have that. And we get on this beautiful, and Baruch Hashem, it's in kolel, but we get into this beautiful treadmill of life, and then as the Mesillas Yesharim describes, then we just sort of forget about the basics. We have all, we're cheshbening this chavrusa and this, and Chaim Eisenstein told you that you gain tremendously from learning with a Torah Shraga guy, and this and that, and we're trying to do all of those things, and then, you know, we forget about the basics. So first of all, Mesillas Yesharim is a fantastic sefer for that, just to pull us back to that. If we could take a few minutes to, where he pulls us back to the basics. But then there are basics, Be'nadam L'chavero, that no sefer in the world is going to do, no vat is going to do. You know what's going to do it? What's going to do it is pen and paper, and say, who are the people that I need to be thinking about more? Who are the people that I need to be doing more for? Who are the people that I need to be more thankful towards or just be more cognizant about? And how am I going to be more cognizant? So I'm giving you one way. That next time, if your wife does the laundry, next time you pull out the sock, just to think about that. And spending time with a pen and paper thinking about, you know, making a cheshbon nefesh, what are those things that we're supposed to do. Today was Bahab. Rav Miller Shlita pointed out beautifully that today was a time, especially Kal V'chomer, the matzah that Klal Yisrael is in. But the Rambam describes that if we're going to fast and we're not going to do a Cheshbon Nefesh of Tshuva, then the ikar of the fast falls away. And just a pen and a paper is such an important thing. One of the I'm indebted for Rav Brashpil because he taught me for 9 years and he had a tremendous hashpa in life. But one of the greatest gifts he gave to me was a gift that I could share with you in 3 minutes. And that is that he said, told us before Yom Noraim, he said, take out a pen and paper and write on two sides of the page, Ben Adon L'makom, Ben Adon L'chaveiro, and just write down a few things that you want to work at. When I was maspid him, I said that one time I was in his house and I opened his gemara and his own cheshbon nefesh fell out of the gemara. I picked it up, I looked at it, I realized my Rebbe's cheshbon nefesh, I put it quickly back into the Gemara, but he lived what he had said. He himself did that, and I think that's something that's really kedai. So on the Bein Adam L'Chavero side, there's nothing more important than your spouse, and just to spending time A to think Hakar Satov, B is what are the things that I could be doing that's better. Now here comes the Musar. The Chazon Ish says that on the Pasuk Ve'eli Sheif Tshuka Seif, that a woman is always defines herself almost to a point in an irrational way. At the end of the day, her happiness is feeling the Hakaras Kvoda from her husband. Hakaras Kvoda, of course, being my word. I got this Chazonish from, there's an excellent sefer I recommend in Hebrew called Habayit HaYehudi, Bar of Simcha Cohen. It was translated into English, but not a full translation. It's translated in one volume called, the title's a strange title, What Did You Say? Or something like that. What Did You Say? Anyhow, it's from Simcha Cohen. He quotes this Chazonish. This might be Mipi HaShmua. And this is a statement of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, but before we get to Rabbi Yossi, Elisha Tshuka says that the tshuka of her husband, of a wife, is to her husband. What does that mean? So I had a Talmud. I think some of you might be familiar with the person I'm talking about. I had a Talmud whose mother is one of the most influential doctors in New York City. She's a household name in her field. I don't want to say more. And he told me my mother is one of the most well-known doctors around. But when I could tell you when she comes home, all she wants to be is a regular mother and a regular wife. In other words, what she is, her tshuka, through all of her professional accomplishments and so on, deep down inside of a woman, is she wants to be adored by her husband and wants, with that adoration from her husband, to build a family together. That's at the core of every woman. No matter what modernity says, that's a metzias, the Chazon Ish says, and I've encountered this, even as I said, with very, 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 very accomplished women. Rabbi Yossi said, "Lo oilam lo karasi ishti ishti ela beisi." A husband who recognizes that his wife is the source of their family, of everything good that he's going to build within his Dalet Amos, then in such a case, then the woman will be a loyal and happy wife. If chas v'chalila, the husband doesn't do it, then a woman who by nature is emotional, in many ways more emotional than men, then all a tremendous amount of anger and resentment could appear. Because she's not feeling that the hakara from her husband. They quote from Yisrael Salanter in almost a humorous way. He said, for a woman, a compliment on something that she did in the home is like complimenting a Rosh Hashiva on his Pshat and a Rambam. That's how Yisrael Salanter said it. That this is her kiyum, just like the Rosh Hashiva, the ultimate, his kiyum was of saying a Pshat in the Rambam. For a woman, feeling that there is recognition to that, there is so much that's going to be missing. Now let's take this woman and let's make this the woman that we're talking about now, Veli Sheikh Chukaseh, and let's talk about her in very, very practical terms. Many of your wives are very, very, very capable people. I want to take this previous point that I made about this Talmud's mother and then put it in very, very practical terms for you. They're very capable women. Many of them have earned degrees. They could become very successful professionally. And if there's any situation of where a woman sacrificed for her husband, there's no question. One of the prime examples is here in the Gruz Kolo. Leaving home, stopping their professional careers, doing all these things just for their husbands. And she moves into an apartment which is much less attractive than an apartment that she could have been living in New York. And she's doing a lot of mundane things. Some of those things that she might not have even done if she had stayed at home. And she's doing it. She will do it happily. And there's one thing that she needs. And that is her husband's appreciation and recognition. If she has that, then she'll be a happy woman. If she doesn't, then it could be much worse. Now let's go a little deeper. So what does she do? She's schlepping out for shopping. She's cleaning. She might be doing laundry. She's cooking. Is she getting paid for it? Absolutely not. That means she's getting lower wage than the janitor here in Yeshiva gets. The difference, the line, this is the mussar for tonight. The line between your wife feeling that she's a janitor and that she's a mishloach from a store, and for her feeling that she's a queen, is this chiluk, is this thing. If the husband shows that he really appreciates and feels that they're building something together, then she could feel like a queen. And if not, then she could feel that she's a janitor. Chas v'chil yoser mizeh. What happens if the husband is not giving her the love and support and they're having sexual relations? He can make her turn and feel her, make her feel like that she's a prostitute. Chas v'chalila. In other words, at the end of the day, all of taking a woman and making her feel entirely elevated, or chas v'chalila, to the places of Gehenim, depends on this nekuda. It's ve'eli sheikh chukaseich. That's a metzius. That's a metzius. And then the question becomes whether we're providing that for our wives. Now, words are not enough. Words are, I believe, the most important first step. But if we internalize those words, then what we're going to want to do is to also show that she deserves to be treated like a queen, which means at times noticing that she's tired and offering to help. And discussing how you can help, and discussing how she could feel like she's a queen, even though you're away most of the day. And how could you take that and make sure that during the hours that you're not at home, she's going to feel that she's elevated. And that means, at times, putting aside constructive criticism. We're going to have a shiur in of itself where we're going to talk about what happens if there are things that could use improvement. If there is something that you could focus on that's positive, and that's hakaras kvoda, you focus on that. The constructive criticism, we'll discuss. The constructive criticism is only going to work if she's already feeling like she's a queen. And the moment in which the constructive criticism comes and she isn't feeling that way, then that's going to push her faster to the places, chas v'chalila, those negative places that we described, even faster than it would go on her own. They say Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once was approached by a Talmud, and he said, I bought my wife a gift, and she didn't appreciate it. I did my best. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter cryptically said to him, you didn't buy her a gift because you wanted to give her a gift. You bought her a gift because you wanted to give her a gift. In other words, when one's sharing and one's giving, is it because you want to do that? Because ultimately it's for you? Or is it because you really want to show her that you really appreciate her without anything back for yourself? I had a humorous story with this myself, where I also made such a mistake like the Talmud with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. My wife and I were married about 3-4 years, and she got a call from Stern College that they were looking for. The timing was right. She had just finished her degree in nutrition. They were looking for someone to teach nutrition in Stern. For the record, my wife was teaching in Stern College before we came to make Aliyah. Actually, for my wife, there was much more of a Mesiras Nefesh because she gave up a very nice opportunity in America to walk and professionally, so that we would. This is actually a good example of a wife putting first her husband and her family, despite her own professional interest. And for Moaifa, it took many, 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 many years for her to find appropriate professional setting for herself. And so I wanted to celebrate with her, so I bought her a briefcase, and she was starting to teach. So I bought her the briefcase, and she said to me, "What's this for?" I said, "Well, you're starting to teach. I figured I'd give you a briefcase." So it turns out it was a black, masculine briefcase, and she said to me, "I don't think I really need it." She said, "I have a pocketbook," and I said, "Well, what about your books?" She said, "I'll hold my book in my hand." So the briefcase sat in the closet for many, many, many years. And ultimately, I started using the briefcase about 5 years later. So I don't know if I was guilty as badly as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that I wanted to get the gift for myself. But the point is that I hadn't put, although ultimately that's what happened because I ended up using the briefcase myself. But at the end of the day, the idea was that I hadn't really put myself enough into the position of my wife to try to figure out what it is that will show her that appreciation and that hakaras kvoda. And that requires avoda. And sometimes we're going to succeed, and sometimes we're going to fail. By the way, both Shalom Bayis and Chinuch Habanim, no one's going to hit perfection. And that's okay. But what we want to do is work towards being better, at least spend time thinking about what the skills that are necessary to be able to do it right. So in my case, I think what I should have done is like really spent more time, not just go to the store, run and get her a briefcase, because that would be something that I would appreciate, but what would she really appreciate? And that requires more thought and more effort, and that requires more hodah on our part, and that requires more thinking about her hod. There's another manifestation of this as well. And that is, and this is going to catapult us to the sugya of communication, which we'll pick up with next time. And that is that the way in which we communicate, we often communicate in a way that could use improvement in terms of understanding hakaras kvoda and really recognizing where she's coming from. Let's just create a scenario. It's April, May, and a grus couple are thinking about what they're going to do about the summer. And they're thinking about going to a couple of camps. And the wife asks the husband and says, did you call the camp about what we're going to be doing? And he said, "Yeah, I made up. I'm going to call them in the next couple of days." That night, she asks him again. She asked him in the morning. She asked him again, "Did you call them?" He said, "I'm going to call in a couple of days." So he's starting to get impatient with her. Now, Rabosai, what's going on over here? What's going on, which we're going to elaborate on, Mir Tzashem in communication, often what's going on is that the wife, there's something that is on her mind. She's concerned about the summer. There's something weighing on her mind about the summer. And she wants to talk to him about it. She wants her husband to understand her. But the husband is being too practical. He's thinking, tachlis, in 2 days, I know that the director of the camp on Thursday, he teaches a lot. On Friday, he's off. So I'm going to call him on Friday. But she is not thinking practically about the director's schedule. She even is not thinking really about your conversation with the director. She is feeling certain unsettling feelings about the summer. And when she asks you, and this is one of the hard parts of men are from Mars and women from Venus, often on Venus, when they ask a question, they're really asking another question. So she's asking you whether you made the phone call, but what she's really saying sometimes is, I want to talk to you about the summer because there are things that are on my mind. Why doesn't she say it beferish? That's a fascinating question. On Venus, they understand why they don't ask it. They don't ask it directly. But Hakaras Kvoda, by some parallel, as Chazal speak about, that a woman's not Toveya, a husband directly, even for Tashmish. So it's deep in the Chazal speak about. It's deep in the Teva of a woman, for whatever reason, that her Ratzon, she wants her husband to figure out her Ratzon. But the more and more a husband is in tune to the hod of the wife, the more and more he will be able to be likely to connect to that. The more and more removed he is, the more and more he's just going to look at her bare words and not going to look towards what's inside of her. Because what is hodah and hod and so on? It's bringing out and noticing something deeper than what is actually in front of our eyes. It goes back to the socks. The socks are sitting there, but we're not looking what's behind it. The more and more we're in tune to looking to what's behind what's going on, the more and more in tune we are. So the moment in which a wife asks us that question, instead of getting frustrated that I told you I was going to do it in 2 days and why are you asking me again tonight, let's stop ourselves. Wait a second, what's behind this? My wife is an awesome person. We all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. She's a woman that's devoted to me. Doesn't it deserve a follow-up that's not curt and saying, I'll call him on Friday and holding back your frustration versus maybe a follow-up question, is there something that's on your mind about this? Is there something that's worrying you? Is there a reason why you want me to call him earlier? I want to reveal the hod of what's going on over here. I want the two neshamas to be connected. This neshama is having agitation. This half of the neshama is having agitation. There's something that's weighing on her. So we could pull away, which is pulling away the two neshamas, or we could try to work out to find a way to make them closer. But it's not always easy because we're looking at our watch. It's not always easy because we have so many other things. There's the Torah Shraga Chavrusa that we promised that we were going to learn with. We want our own space. I haven't checked the news in 2 hours. I want to check the news already. And men need their own space. Okay, men do need their own space. And their wives are going to give you their own space. Here's the paradox. You know the stereotype of a wife that nudges? A nudging wife comes about because she's asking for her husband, Ve'eli Sheikh Shukaseich, and the husband didn't give it to her. If the husband had given it to her, then she wouldn't know. The husband will be able to have his space if he gives it to her at that time. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya. We'll talk about how to do it practically in communication. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to be able to have that hakaras kvoda, to be able to find the hod and find the hodah. And that is what a woman is really, really looking for. Chatz v'chadi, if we don't, it makes a woman feel awful. And so that's the obvious ones. And then there's more subtle ones. More subtle ones where a woman is looking for her husband's support. And the husband, either he's so wrapped up in himself he doesn't want to he doesn't even notice, or he's just not interested in giving it to her. Well, if at the end of the day he's not interested in giving it to her, then he's really, really not interested in connecting those two neshamas. I think most of the time the husband is really interested. It's just that he's not spending enough time thinking about this. And so Mirtz Hashem, spending some time for a half hour during the week thinking about this will make us more sensitive to it. And Mirtz Hashem will be zocha to be mashlim the neshama to the highest madrigas and build beautiful homes with beautiful peros that come from this. Again, Chevra, feel free.